Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Dana, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
Yes, we do. And we record a podcast.
That word just like... It just,
I like how you stuck it out too. That's what I respect about you.
Yeah.
You just take things head on.
You just gotta keep rolling.
Yeah, just keep rolling with the punches.
As Fred Durst once said, something about rolling.
Dude, that was stuck in Sophia's head this week. She'd be like cooking or something and be like, rolling.
I'm like,
do you have a Limp Bizkit stuck in your head? She's like, yeah, it's catchy.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm like, you're about 20 years too late, but fair enough.
It's never a bad time.
Yeah. It's funny.
We got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is X-Factor.
X-Factor. I got the big fucking book right here in front of everybody.
Yeah. We got Back Matter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news. Not a lot of news.
A bit slow.
What do you got?
I got, you know, David Marquez?
Yeah.
The artist?
He's going to Phoenix Comic Con?
Oh, yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. I gotta get some stuff signed by him. But he's writing and drawing a new series for Image called The Unchosen.
Good name.
And it is about a 13-year-old who wakes up in a city laid waste by a massive explosion, a scene of devastation that she caused. Pursued by rival forces wielding incredible powers, she must discover who truly wants to help her or who wants to control her, and the truth behind her past. So, pretty cool. Much like many people who draw X-Men for like a little bit, he's writing and drawing his own thing at Image. So good for him. I don't know when it comes out. I think September.
July 9th.
Damn, that's soon.
Yeah. Nathan, you like the Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yeah. That's Sophie's favorite movie. Second favorite movie? It's her favorite holiday movie.
Well, you can get her Nightmare Before Christmas, Long Live the Pumpkin Queen, which is an original graphic novel coming this June from Dynamite.
The Pumpkin Queen?
Yeah, it's what so like Sally is after the fact, I guess. I don't remember how that movie ends, but she's the Pumpkin Queen, I guess.
You know, I've seen that movie like 4 times a year every year around Halloween time because Sophie likes it so much, and I don't remember how that movie ends, if I'm being honest.
Serena would know. She saw it last year, I think.
That sounds cool. Kind of.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it is weird that they're doing it now, but I wonder if the art is going to be like a little bit scary, like a little bit creepy scary.
Yeah, I imagine, you know? It'll be like kind of.
Yeah, I imagine it'll capture the spirit.
Yeah.
Of the original stuff. That's cool.
Yeah, I didn't know anyone attached to it, but I think it's adapting like a book. I don't know if like Nightmare Before Christmas was like a book prior to the movie or something, but
I think it probably was. Yeah. I think that's mostly what he does. Is
I don't know the lore.
I don't know either. Do I have anything else? I don't think I have anything else.
Nathan, you know the book Lazarus by Greg Rucka?
Yeah.
It's coming back, kind of, for a finale series.
Whoa.
It's like a mini. It's called Lazarus: Fallen, coming June 25th from the same creative team, I think.
He's got a lot of random series out there, doesn't he?
Have we Mr. read Rucka? Greg Rucka?
Isn't he the one that did The Old Guard?
Yeah. Okay, so then we have.
He's got a few of those out there where it's like, you see it on like Comixology and you're like, that looks pretty cool because the cover is like good.
Yeah.
And it probably is good. I like The Old Guard.
Mm-hmm. And then, Nathan, you liked when Jason Aaron was on Uncle Scrooge?
Yeah.
Well, is he coming back?
Oh, good.
Wait. Scrooge, Earth's Mightiest Duck.
Oh, dude, nice.
A mini series coming August 13th.
Oh, it's a whole mini series.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Jason Aaron. And I think the artist is like under wraps.
Mm.
It's like a secret or something.
Secret artist.
Could be someone with like a DC contract or something.
Is he going to be an Avenger? Or is he?
I think it's like a normal Uncle Scrooge story.
Mm.
Or whatever.
Whatever that is. You know, I was reading his Uncle Scrooge Infinity, whatever.
Dime.
The Infinity Dime. And I was like, this is a big book. It's like 40 something pages. And so I just remember I started it and I was like, this is kind of cool. But I was like 2 pages in and I was like, I got to do something else. And I never went back to it. So probably pretty good.
Still in my box, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, Nathan, what book did we read this week?
We read X Factor by Peter David.
Yes, sir.
And a bunch of artists. We got
Ryan Sook,
Sook, who penciled the first issue and some of the second issue. And then we have Dennis Calero, who penciled some of issue 2 and then through 4. And then we have Pablo Raimondi for 5 and 6. And then various inkers, colors, all sorts of stuff. But reading this,
I thought it was all Ryan Sook. I didn't really think about it.
He's like, you can tell when it like changes like a little bit, but it's still pretty, it's pretty good. But the last two issues is a different artist.
Okay.
For this trade.
So tell me, Nathan.
Yeah.
Who is the X Factor? What is X Factor?
It's like a popular TV show in like...
Yeah,
a
singing show in
yeah.
Britain. That's how Leona Lewis was found.
And it's got Simon Cowell.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns around, I think. I've never seen the show. Is that the one where they turn around?
No, that's The Voice.
Oh, okay.
X Factor is where they can vote you out. Kind of like America's Got Talent or whatever.
Oh, okay. Remember we used to call in for American Idol?
Yeah, dude, we'd spam that shit.
Yeah.
Chris Daughtry, Chris Daughtry.
They were preparing us to rig the election in 2020. Because you know I was calling multiple times to support my boy Daughtry.
Yeah.
And then it was rigged. He got kicked out.
Yeah, dude.
I believe we cried because we were that young.
Yeah, dude. We were like 10 or something.
Yeah.
Fourth place. Are you shitting me?
I thought his life was over, dude. I was like, they're going to kill him or something.
I thought my life was over.
My life was over. I couldn't hear his sweet rock voice anymore.
And now he's thriving.
On season... I don't even know what season that was. Probably like 5 of American Idol. It was like well into it.
Yeah, yeah.
What's Ryan Seacrest doing? He's doing like a radio show or something, right?
I think he's on various podcasts. Probably does the countdowns and Macy's Day parades or whatever.
When do you think he won't do the countdown anymore?
Because he dies.
Do you think he'll be doing it until he dies?
I think every channel has like different... Has their own, I think.
There's always one that Seacrest is doing.
Probably.
So do you think he'll do something where like he'll get excommunicated from that gig? Or like
possibly. Mm-hmm. He's on like the Weinstein list or something.
I want to see him 78 still doing a countdown.
Yeah.
Anyway. X Factor.
What is it? What is it? That this team.
This team? I don't fucking know. This team. Do you want me to name the team?
No, I want you to tell me why there's an X Factor. What is it?
I don't know. It's an X team. It's got X in the name. It sounds cool. So they do it.
Ah.
Like okay. Ecstatic, you know? Ecstatics, I mean. Or like X-Men.
Nathan, Marvel fandom says.
Okay.
Originally posed as mutant hunters to help mutant kind in secrecy. So.
Yeah, that's typically what it is. That's what we read
kinda,
before.
Kind of like
this is our second X Factor book, right?
No,
this is third.
What
did we do an X Factor?
No,
yes, we did. Isn't that the Deadpool one that we did?
That's X Force.
Oh, X Force.
Oh my god, this guy's new here.
That's another one.
Yeah,
that's
welcome to the podcast, Nathan. We talk about comics,
dude. I'm tired. I got like 4 hours of sleep last night. I was drinking a lot of whiskey.
Me too. Anyway,
fuck. All right. X Factor, the late, great Peter David unfortunately passed away, and we're going to read this.
This is actually not his first run on X Factor.
I found that out this week, too.
In 1990, he started on like the first run of X Factor, and issue number 55.
And it looks pretty 90s, and Strong Guy's still in it, and he looks pretty 90s. Do you see the Strong Guy on that?
Nah, no, I didn't look.
He looks great. I mean, he looks cool in this, too, but...
Yeah.
So this is like... There's some fucking canon going on in here. It's not too much.
Yeah.
But I read past some of this for the pull list just to like see where it goes. Because I was enjoying this. Yeah. And there's a full page dedicated to just canon that's going on at the time.
Mm.
This book, it's not too bad because it's just after House of M. And basically like there's not as many mutants anymore. It's like 1/10. There's 1/10 of the mutants.
Yeah.
I think was the number. So a lot of them, because of House of M, Scarlet Witch just said like no more mutants. And then she created a reality where there's not as many mutants anymore. Only a small group of people know why that's the case. But to everybody else, they're like, I just lost my powers. What the fuck happened?
Yeah.
And some of them are like, I didn't lose my powers. And basically this series is like a crime noir.
It's like an uncomplicated like PI story.
Yeah.
That's just like love looking at. You know what?
This is just Fables, but mutants.
Kind of, yeah.
Because they live in a mutant town.
Well, Bigby was like a detective, you know.
What?
Bigby, like the wolf?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like a detective.
Yeah, and he was like a monster. The detectives here are mutants, and they live in mutant town, and they call people reals.
They're investigators.
Instead of Mundies. You know what I mean? I think this is like, it's pretty like one-to-one now that I think about it. But yeah, that's pretty much what it is. And I kind of love that shtick of just like noir, like a mystery thing, but like superhero, I guess.
Yeah.
Like,
powers or whatever.
Just like having random powers that'll sometimes help in your investigation. But just the fact that it like is gritty looking when like most other X Factors are just like the most 90s looking thing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
With like colors and stuff. And then this one takes the bold approach of like having a glare through the window, through the blinds of the window or whatever.
Yeah.
And I like it.
And you want to guess how many issues were in this run?
12?
The whole run?
I have the complete collection, Daniel. So if it's more than...
You see the one on the spine?
Yeah.
That means it's
one of one.
That means it's the first one.
Oh my God. Wait, this goes longer than 12?
Yeah.
Oh shit. How long does it go?
Try 112, dude.
Whoa!
Yes.
They didn't let it go.
Yeah, dude. Peter David was just fucking cooking.
It was him the whole time?
For like 10 years. Yeah.
Holy shit. What a legend.
Yeah, dude.
I didn't even come close. Grinding.
Yeah, dude. You're like, oh, I know the whole story.
Yeah, I got it all. I didn't read the whole thing, so I don't know
what X Factor was.
I don't know, dude. I can't tell you the history behind every X team.
Yeah.
That would make me a loser.
Yeah. I was looking
what did you think of this overall, though?
It, like, started really strong for me. Like, where, like, I don't know if, like, the story was necessarily introducing anything groundbreaking for me, but it was just that I liked the characters enough to want to learn more about them, and it was just killer to look at.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like this is necessarily building up to like some big huge finale. It's just like,
yeah,
it's just we're at a job.
It just matters. You know, the vibes are what matter.
Vibes are so critical here.
Yeah, and so there's some. It doesn't necessarily like wrap up how I wanted. Maybe if I read like the whole first complete collection, I'd feel more complete. But as far as like just the first trade goes, there's not really an arc there.
Yeah,
like I guess like
there's two stories,
yeah,
or like two investigations
that come to like a checkpoint,
yeah, really. Pretty much.
But I did enjoy this. I like Peter David's writing,
yeah,
and so it made me sad that he was so good.
I know,
you know, his work has like been like a blind spot for me, maybe for us. I don't know if you've read anything else by him.
Not really. I think just this, and I only recognize him because of this, but I never read any of his other stuff.
Okay.
To my knowledge.
Yeah.
But I know he's done all sorts of Hulk, all sorts of,
yeah,
you know, different runs of stuff.
For sure.
So let's get into it. So Richter, who just lost his mutant powers, is standing on the ledge of a building, preparing to jump. Multiple man Jamie Madrox? How do you say it?
Madrox? Just say multiple man.
Multiple man. He creates a multiple and sends one to go talk to him.
A dupe. One of his dupes.
Why isn't he duplicate man then? Call him a molt.
Duplicate dude.
I'm going to send a molt over there.
A molt?
A molt, yeah. Like when you molt your shell.
Yeah.
Siren, who's the son of Banshee, daughter of Banshee, uses her abilities to charm information on a crime boss. But then that informant is like gunned down. And so she chases after the assassin. And when she catches the assassin kills herself. And then the Jamie duplicate, or the multiple man duplicate, turns out to be like a bad side of Jamie, and he pushes Richter over the edge. And that's the first issue.
Yeah, so he has like kind of, so his dupes take on like his different sides, different like personalities.
I think this kind of twist on the character started here, because normally it's just like he multiplies and then that's kind of it.
Yeah.
But starting here, he'll like multiply parts of himself, and one part of him will be like a more optimistic side of him, or one will be like more cynical, but this one he said is like a perverse Jamie Madrox.
Yeah.
I guess. And so I think that's kind of interesting.
Then him himself is like bad at decision making, because he could make like every decision, you know?
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of fun.
Yeah. And there's multiple times in here in this book where he's like, yeah, I studied like quantum physics, or I had one of my dupes study quantum physics.
Yeah. He just like absorbs whatever their dupe learns, which is crazy.
Yeah, pretty cool. Let's talk about how cool Strong Guy looks.
He's the best.
He is so big, and I like his little glasses.
Yeah, it makes him look even bigger.
Yeah, it does. And just like whenever he's like near just a person, it's like one of my favorites. Just like he's putting up the sign for X Factor Industries.
Yeah,
and it's like Jesus Christ, look at him.
I don't know if I necessarily got enough of him.
Yeah. You know? I agree.
Just a bit that I've read, you know, there's a little bit of it. I think I was expecting to learn like so much, but you know, it is like a team story, so it's gonna be
hard to get
the collective
into...
team, not individuals very much. But I actually Googled
who created him. Was it Grant?
I don't know. A couple of weeks ago, I Googled him to find stories that he was in.
Yeah,
I guess this is one, but yeah, because he doesn't have like a solo series or anything.
Yeah, I think it's mainly just new X-Men stuff.
Somebody calls Homo sapiens like saps, which is that I thought was funny.
That's kind of good.
Yeah, because it doesn't come around again, but
it's kind of demeaning, you know.
Yeah,
because mutants are Homo superior.
Yeah.
So yeah, he first appeared in the New Mutants number 29 in July of 1985. So I don't think that was.
Oh yeah, that's.
Oh, he's created by Chris Claremont and Bill Sienkiewicz.
Nice.
Yeah, so that New Mutants run.
His name's Guido.
Good name. And I think I'm kind of a sucker for like kind of gentle giant characters too, because he seems like pretty nice. But if he needs to like lock in, he can be pretty intimidating too.
Yeah, he threatens people.
Yeah, like pretty consistently.
Yeah.
So,
Wolfsbane is on the team.
Yeah,
I know her just from New Mutants, I think.
Yeah, she was in the New Mutants movie.
But she seems kind of like different here. I think maybe just because, like, I've never seen her in, like, comics or anything.
Yeah, every time I see her, she's just kind of, like, aggressive.
Yeah.
So I think this version of her kind of aligns with what I had in my head. Although, I don't know, I think she was on a New Warriors book or something.
Maybe.
That I've seen before. And I've seen her pop around in different X-Men stuff.
And then there's this other character called M.
Yeah, Monet St. Croix.
Did you like look her up?
No.
I guess her alter ego is Penance.
What?
Yeah.
That can't be right.
Okay. I'm wrong, I guess.
Yeah, fuck you. Wait, Penance, like...
spelled the same way.
Oh, like that's her mutant name?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant she was like...
Well, isn't like Penance like Speedball like a mutant?
Speedball is a mutant.
Yeah.
And then became Penance after Civil War.
Right. This is pre-Civil War, isn't it?
This is just before Civil War.
Mm.
Because in issue 7 of this, let me show you just like the lore dump. I'll read it later. It's just kind of ridiculous that it exists.
Is it in the comic or is it like
it's in the
Wikipedia
comic
page?
Like before you even start reading issue 7, it's like, all right, let me catch you up on some shit. let me find it. It's right here.
Like an exposition page kind of thing?
Look at all that, dude. It's like, here's what you need to know before you go into this shit.
Yikes.
And I'm gonna read it later just because it's kind of funny. But
the freaking X Factor logo looks familiar to me.
It's just multiple, man.
It looks like an X Games logo or something.
It could be. I don't know. It's not a creative logo necessarily. But yeah, so this story takes place like kind of just after House of M. And I kind of like that this is the setting of the story because it sets up such a good like springboard to just do like a random story that you couldn't do at any other point in like comics, I feel like. Because this one, there's like a lot of mutants that are like kind of grieving that they don't have like powers anymore. And then there's also like this like mutant hate. Like even though mutants have just turned into like people again, essentially, there's still just a lot of like regular people that were never mutants that are still like beating up on mutants the whole time.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of interesting to explore too. So I appreciate that this is, it was kind of like, this story feels like it was put in a box, but it's kind of innovating because it was like put in this box.
And also like the people who used to be mutants are still kind of living in mutant town.
Yeah.
So they're just kind of getting hate from
Because they're still like getting hated for, they're just catching strays essentially.
Yeah.
It's like, you used to be a fucking mutant, now you're one of us. And then they start beating up on them. And I'm like, this seems a little pointless, but.
You miss it, don't you?
But I guess the metaphor is there. So issue 2, Richter, who's just pushed off the building, gets saved by Monet St. Clair, and kind of flown off. So he was saved. And then at the X Factor office, the team gets a PI case to look into the client, Miss Santiago's missing sister. So Siren checks it out and finds out that the sister is sleeping with a famous actor named Jack Vaughn. And then Richter and Jamie sort of hash out the whole, you know, pushing him off the roof stuff in like a couple panels.
Yeah.
And then Jamie gets a call about Miss Santiago getting framed for killing her own sister. So they got to go figure that out. And I thought they were trying to make this Vaughn dude like Vince Vaughn.
Nah.
And I was
I've
like,
had a Matthew Vaughn before Vince Vaughn, honestly.
The only Vaughn I know is Vince Vaughn, and they just call him like Mr. Vaughn. And I'm like, is that supposed to be Vince Vaughn? And I'm trying to think, like, is this in the era where like they would put like random celebrities in comics?
Maybe, yeah.
Because in Ultimate they would do that quite a bit, or they would like name like Freddie Prinze Jr. or somebody.
Yeah,
Freddie Prinze. So I was like,
who's like?
But then I was looking at him anymore. And I was like, I guess it could be and like a really, if you squint your eyes and like, if you don't know what Vince Vaughn looks like, that might look like him.
It looks more like
it looks like John Travolta or something.
Or who's that comedian that died?
Oh, Norm MacDonald.
Norm MacDonald. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see some Norm MacDonald in there. But yeah, for a little bit, I'm like, he looks like just basic white guy. It could be Vince Vaughn.
I like this like Mignola ass like wizard.
Yeah, I don't know what the wizard is about.
He just like.
Because I wanted to read on and be like, who's the wizard?
Yeah.
So there's a competing private investigation firm called, Industrial, or what is it called?
Synthetic or something?
Singularity Investigations. Ah. So I think that's kind of interesting too, because some of the people over there have powers. But so there's also this character, Layla Miller, who's like this little girl that just kind of walks into the X-Factor office. And she walks around and is like, yeah, I know stuff. And I think she's kind of a fun character. And I like that no one really knows what she's doing there, but she isn't like being enough of a nuisance to like kind of kick her out.
Mm-hmm.
But she has this like very strange power, and she like can kind of just see in the near future a little bit.
Yeah.
And then just calls out when things are about to happen. And I think that's kind of an interesting power. And I like how they explain it later.
Yeah. She doesn't really like say how she knows. She says like, I just know.
I just know.
Dude, look at this.
I think it's interesting.
This panel. Gas is 251.
Oh
man,
those were the days.
Yeah, take me back.
Come on. Joe Biden ruined it for us.
20 years ago. That honestly seems kind of expensive for 20 years ago.
Was this 20 years ago?
2005.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of expensive.
Because where is Mutant Town? Is that New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it would be that bad.
I would assume New York.
He feels like he's kind of on the outskirts. But.
I know we talked about it, but I love the vibes of just in the office where just the whole office is pitch black. And then all you have is just like the light coming from the blinds or whatever.
Well, that's why I said blackout. I think there's like a blackout or something. And so no one's electricity is working or something. And so I think that's why the lights are off and it makes it look all cool. It's like turn the light on.
It could be like that. Yeah. But I think what's cool about it is that it would almost be kind of corny if they were like trying to be super serious. But the fact that there's like strong guy who's like this big buff guy there, and then there's Layla Miller just like saying the most insane shit, being like, yeah, I just know this is what I gotta do, you know. And I think the like the juxtaposition there is what makes it pretty fun.
And I need your gun knowledge.
Okay,
what little of it you have. But
I've shot a few.
So Richter. He's at the gas station, right?
Yep.
And there's this like abusive boyfriend or something.
Yep. They were mutants and now they're not mutants and they're angry.
Yeah, whatever. Richter sprays gas on this guy. Mm-hmm. The guy pulls out a gun. Dude's like, Richter's like, don't pull the trigger on that. He does anyway. And then he gets lit on fire, right? Because of the spark.
Yeah.
Would the bullet not fire?
It would still fire.
Okay. I mean, it seems like the spark happened first.
The hammer, like, makes contact and creates the spark, so it would presumably, unless it like somehow protects that bullet, it would still fire.
Yeah,
but I think he would also just catch on fire because he threw like gasoline or something on him.
Right. Yeah. Like I get. But yeah, he catching on fire, but like where'd the bullet go?
It probably would have still shot. Mm-hmm. I find it hard to believe that it didn't. But yeah, this is just a strange scene in general because like. Who's that girl that he saves? We don't see her again.
Where'd she go? Yeah.
I think it's just like trying to paint the picture of like.
He's still a good guy. And there's people out there who lost powers.
Yeah, there's people out there. They're real upset. Some of them are not as upset though. So it just kind of depends.
Issue three. So in this cover, like Wolfsbane.
Yeah.
She doesn't really like look like a wolf to me.
That's a wolf.
It looks more like a badger or something.
It's kind of like wolf man.
Or like a, yeah, I guess so.
But just a wolf woman.
I'm no expert or anything, but it just kind of, when I saw her, I wasn't like, oh, Wolfsbane or whatever.
I think what makes it easier for me is that I think most of the Wolfsbane I've read was drawn by Bill Sienkiewicz.
Yeah.
And he makes everything look like pretty fucking weird.
Right.
And so this seems tame in comparison to me. But I like it. I just like how weird Wolfsbane is. And I feel like
that's a good dynamic.
Yeah. I feel like of the like D-list X-Men characters, Wolfsbane's like a pretty popular one. You know?
D-list?
C-list?
Yeah, probably.
Issue 3?
Yep.
Siren and Multiple Man go to talk to Jack Vaughn, but they're stopped by a Singularity Investigations rep named Damian Tripp. Or he's the owner, I think. And then they talk to Miss Santiago and think that her mind has been wiped because she has no recollection of the whole situation, but she's being framed for the murder. There's some people beating up ex-mutants in Mutant Town, so Strong Guy and Wolfsbane kind of intervene and they protect those people. And then a Singularity Investigations hitman shows up to the X-Factor office. Layla Miller already knew that he was going to be there, and so she set a trap where water floods from the ceiling. And then that dude gets electrocuted and dies. And then she says, I know things. That's what she says. And I think it's a pretty cool scene for her because we still don't really know much about her, but this kind of tells us that there's kind of more to her than what we even initially thought. Like she's important enough for somebody to like send a hitman after her or Richter or whatever, but she knew was going to go on. So I think it's cool. Like she's capable of just like killing somebody if she needs to, which is kind of cool.
Did someone leave like a tub on or something? Like how'd that water come down?
I think it's like a water pipe.
But
I mean this whole kill in general I think could have been more believable because it's just like one panel of light gets like over flooded and then dumps all onto this one guy and then there happens to be like a wire that like swings down and hits him. So I just think like that Home Alone trap could have been like a little bit better maybe.
Oh well.
But yeah, it is what it is. The point is she just killed a man.
So there's a aspect to this where like Multiple Man, he's like monologuing or something and he like can't really keep his memory straight because like all of his dupes will have different memories and experience different things. So he's not sure what he necessarily experienced himself.
Yeah. That would be trippy.
I just kind of wrote down all the stuff I liked about Multiple Men.
I know. It is cool. Well, what I like about this is that they came up with a reason for him to just not send a bunch of multiples to do everything.
Yeah.
Because he has this like evil multiple that'll push people off buildings. So he's like, I can't risk creating a multiple because he doesn't know what kind of personality it'll have. And the evil one will like try and pretend that it's like an optimistic one or like a cool one.
Right.
So I kind of like that aspect. Like he'll do it if he needs to. But it kind of limits his ability in this book, which I think works pretty well.
Right.
But yeah, he's cool as fuck. And I read a couple issues after this trade, and he has a multiple that is an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and has been this whole time. And he just like shows up to the X-Factor office at one point.
Oh, so he's been like separated.
He's been separated for like years. And has been like an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Can his dupes make dupes? Or is he...
I think he created a dupe and is like, go figure out how to be a spy. Or like a secret agent. And
he's just I'm been saying doing like that. They only come from like the Prime.
I think they only come from Prime. I don't think dupes can make other dupes.
Gotcha.
So, pretty fun.
And then...
they call regular people reels as well at one point.
Mm.
And I don't like that one as well. I prefer Mundies.
Mundies is pretty elite.
Yeah.
And... Layla Miller, the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's like monologuing out the window. She's talking about how she's got to keep the truth from the team about the decimation, which has been the thing that happened. That so she knows something.
Yeah.
She's not telling us. Very interesting.
Yep.
Cliffhanger.
Quite a cliffhanger. Issue 4. Monet goes to Miss Santiago's her and Multiple Man go visit Miss Santiago. She reads her mind and decides to handle it from there on her own, which basically means that she goes to find Jack Vaughn and tricks his mind into thinking that he's seeing a dead version of Santiago's sister running around until he's freaked out enough to confess to the police. And then that kind of solves the whole Santiago thing.
What the fuck is her power? Is that the first time we're seeing it?
So it's kind of like a lot of things.
She can fly.
She can fly. She can levitate. And she has telepathy. And those are the big ones.
Okay.
In the Jeff Lemire X-Men run that I read, I think it was that one, there's a lot of her. No, it was a different run.
All different era,
there's a lot of Monet in there. And it's mainly like telepathy stuff. But yeah, so she can kind of do a limited version of just Charles Xavier stuff. So she tricks this dude's mind into thinking that he's seeing the person that it killed, which is like freaking him out. So that's how they solve that story, which is kind of cool. But there's still a bunch of riots in Mutant Town. So Strong Guy and Wolfsbane are kind of there holding the line. Siren pulls up and does like a whole big yell at the police, which there's no repercussions for after doing that, which is a little bit crazy. But
so does her scream like push stuff?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm looking at?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's this like really cool page where you kind of see the
it's like an empty street, and then next thing you know, there's like cars flipped over.
So like big gust of her scream or whatever, pushing the cars and the people and stuff. Yeah. And I think there's like a throwaway line where it's like, well, nobody got hurt, so they were just chill with it. And I'm like,
just tons of property damage.
They flipped a bunch of cars over. But anyway, later Siren gets drugged and taken.
Also, Layla Miller like shipped the body of that dude she killed to the Synergy or whatever. Synthesis?
Fuck, what is it called?
The agency?
Hold on. Singularity Investigations. Singularity. Not a good name. It's hard to remember.
And it's kind of dark.
It's pretty fucking cold.
Are they the ones who sent him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She set up the people to like...
That's kind of fun then.
Yeah, she knows people that don't ask questions and will do something like at any moment in time. And she like says that to multiple men because he's like, what's this like $1,000 charge?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, that's a pretty good deal, I feel like. To ship something that big, that quick.
Yeah.
So one of the multiple man things that's cool is that he's a lawyer. Like he passed the bar exam. One of his dupes did. Yeah. And then he like sucked him up.
Well, it seems like that'd be like a cool feature, but there's also a version of you that has to like learn all that shit.
That would be so shitty if you were annoying. If you were the conscious version
and then you're
of
just
that
absorbed.
Yeah. Like all of that effort.
You're basically killed.
Pretty much. Yeah.
You do all this work.
That's like, what, 8 years of work?
I don't know. A lot, I imagine.
Maybe even more to be a lawyer. And then he's like, yep. All right, cool. Good job. Let me suck you up.
Dude, there's this like TikTok where this dude will be testing this girl about like questions on like the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fucking hard. I get all of them wrong. it's like all scenario stuff.
Yeah, so you have to like know that stuff pretty inherently.
Yeah, if you can sue essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think like, oh no, probably not. And then like, yes, you can. I'm like, oh shit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and so that should.
I like those videos.
I always think I can defend myself in court if it came to it, but yeah, like,
if I just studied hard enough,
I would not know like what the first thing you have to do is. You know.
Yeah, you wouldn't know like Williamson versus U.S. And in this court case, it states that this happens or whatever.
Right.
And like all that shit that you just like have to know, and you have to know the names and the years of it and like what exactly they were talking about.
Right.
It's crazy.
Five?
Yeah, issue five. So Richter can't find Siren at her normal breakfast spot because she was just drugged and taken. And so he goes looking for her. He ends up finding Siren being tied up and tortured in an abandoned theater by like an ex-mutant doctor that's gone mad. So he's like a normal dude now. And he was trying to like force Siren and the X-Factor team to find out how all the mutants lost their powers in that big event, which is like, I'm pretty sure they're trying to figure that out already. But anyway, Richter kind of stumbles into that theater and kills the doctor and then carries Siren out. And she's like super heavily injured.
Yeah, a little pocket issue.
Yeah. I like that the first issue, though, is the reference to that one, the Nighthawks painting.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fun.
Didn't
and the two people are there too. It's just Richter walking in. He's like,
"Wasn't there another comic that referenced Nighthawks?"
I'm sure there's a ton that we read.
We reviewed.
Oh,
yeah.
What was that? Was that like a Fantastic Four?
Ooh, maybe. Yeah. Well,
I want to say it was Allred that did it, didn't he?
Oh, the FF book?
It could have been the FF book. Or it could have just been a random... I want to say it feels like it was a Fantastic Four bit.
Maybe.
But yeah, that painting's referenced a lot. Have you seen that, like, Bob's Burgers one?
Yeah.
It's just that painting, but like, yeah. Bob's Burgers, essentially. I think that one's fun, too.
I think Futurama uses it, like, in an episode. I think I brought that up last time. We talked about the painting.
Mm.
So he goes into that diner and goes to, like, someone that works there. He's like, I was looking for a friend. She's like, how friendly are we talking, honey? Because my divorce just finalized.
Yeah, it's like, just so flirty.
I was like, wow, that's the move that you just totally give in.
I mean, that's a good move. I mean, pretty straightforward.
Maybe after divorce, you're
ready to go.
Very open, you know?
Yeah, probably.
I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, so there's this like mutant. I don't know if we're supposed to know who this character is. He's probably an existing character, but he's like a doctor before and then he was a mutant. Now he's just none of those.
Yeah.
So he's gone crazy a little bit.
Yeah, Richter comes in. He's like,
hello?
He like follows her. Yeah. He just makes his awareness, makes himself known.
Yeah. He knows something's up.
Hey, you hear?
Because he finds like a little thing on the street in the rain. And he's like, I think Siren's been taken. And then he walks into a building. He's like, Siren?
Yeah.
You in here? Like to lose all advantage you have in that scenario.
Right.
But yeah, just like quick little issue. Kind of fun. He did something to her vocal cords to where like she can't scream unless she tries really, really hard, which she does.
It's like probably throat punched her or something.
Yeah. But what's weird is that like she'll do a scream and it like hits him in the face, but it like just misses Richter.
And maybe she can direct
when,
and it?
When I think of like a scream, you know, I think it's just like a big cone just kind of out from your.
Yeah.
But I guess she can focus it a little bit, maybe.
Probably.
That'd so, be, I don't know how
that'd
that
be handy.
But yeah, that's that issue. And then issue 6, the X-Factor is like, oh my God, Siren, are you okay? And then they start questioning how Layla Miller couldn't just know stuff about Siren getting kidnapped.
Yeah, like stop things from happening.
Yeah, it's like, if you know everything, why didn't you know this? And she's like, and then she just leaves without saying anything. She then talks to Wolfsbane about being a runaway orphan and confirming that she did know about the kidnapping before it happened, but she had to like let it happen because she knows what she has to do, kind of. And so then Layla just kind of brings herself back to the orphanage, but the kids there beat her up for being a mutant. So later, Jamie and Wolfsbane make a deal with the owner to take Layla back and kind of like off the books, essentially. But then we find out from Richter that Layla probably punched herself in the face to make it look like she's being abused there so that she'd get picked up by the X-Factor people. So it's like, what the fuck is she doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I think she has a reincarnation power, but I don't really know. She like revives a butterfly.
Okay. So
I'm not there
she
yet.
She mentioned like that at one point she had like horns and like
I don't know
breathe fire and
it's
then
like a demon or something.
Then the decimation happened, but she still has power somehow.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
I don't know if that was like a throwaway line or something.
I yeah.
Or
I'm sure it's important and it probably comes up.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, then they were saying at one point, like, she probably... Because if you were wiped before your X gene activates or whatever, then you can, like, still become a mutant. Like, there are still new mutants popping up. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's just, like, the people that had their X gene activated or whatever, making them a mutant, got wiped out. So I think that plays a part in it as well. It's kind of confusing.
Right.
But they kind of explain her powers in an interesting way because she says that she relates her powers kind of like the butterfly effect and she can kind of feel what is going to work out in her favor. And so she'll like do things to create a butterfly effect to have the reality that she kind of wants to have.
That's nice.
And I'm like, that's kind of cool because it's not like overpowered, like seeing into the future type stuff, but it's like you see far enough into the future where you can use it to your advantage, I guess.
Right.
And there's a part of it where she feels what she has to do, but it's not like ambiguous if like that's the right thing to do or not. She just knows. And I think that's kind of interesting. There's probably more there.
There's a bit where Multiple Man's like Siren has to get like better medical attention. And he's like, I'm on it. And then like Monet is like, what does that mean? He's like, means there's an it that I'm on, okay?
The most sass.
I just thought it was funny.
Yeah. And that was a reference to the other issue where Monet's like, I got it from here. I'm on it.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. Whoever did the art on this one draws kids pretty well.
I was thinking that same thing.
Yeah.
Because like at this orphanage, there's a panel where she's like reunited with the kids that are there.
They're all grumpy.
Yeah, they're all grumpy or like have different facial expressions that are pretty convincing. Yeah,
it's not like just small adults. Small, you know?
Yeah. And
so, yeah, really good art.
I think my favorite panel of strong guys in this issue, because they go to one of the singularity investigations people, or like the main guy.
Where he's jogging
in Central Park, and then Strongman is just jogging there as well, and it's like, can you imagine seeing that huge man just jogging and just like seeing him like next to this regular ass dude too is funny.
Yeah,
but he's got like short shorts, he knows he's got legs.
Yeah,
you know, dude. What I mean, so that's sick.
There's an aspect that Multiple Man has where he has to kind of like motivate his dupes, which I think is kind of funny. Just, like,
I missed that. But
he just like motivate his dupes to do what he wants, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to just do his chores or whatever.
Yeah, because you're still just you.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's just like, ah.
And it's not like
I'm the dishes dupe.
Your dupe just like is like ready to do whatever you want, you know?
Yeah. Like imagine like, boom, right now you gotta go study quantum physics.
I'd be like, okay.
I'm like, Jesus Christ, like where do we even start?
Yeah, I'd be like, why don't you do the dishes?
Here's my question, you know, about the dupes. He duplicates. They have clothes on, so the clothes duplicate.
Yeah.
Does if he's holding on to like a dollar bill, or like if he's got his wallet in and it's got like $20,
yeah,
and he duplicates 100 times, does he have $120 bills?
Just cause inflation, or like
yeah, he could essentially.
He collapses the value of the dollar.
Yeah, because in an issue in here, he has like a beanie on. And he like creates a duplicate so they could give this other dude a beanie to make him more incognito, like get out of a situation. So I'm like,
or what if he's like, there's a big battle, Prime gets all battle torn, like his clothes and stuff, and he makes another dupe. Are those clothes riched up, or does he get a new set of clothes?
I think those would be ripped up. Okay. I don't think that like resets to like certain points in time.
Yeah.
I think it's just like whatever their state is, but I'm wondering, like, you know. Yeah, like wallets.
Dude, you can put on a new pair of shoes, make a dupe, have them take the new pairs off. Yeah, you have a backup pair. Whoa. And then reabsorb them.
Dude, you're so right.
Dude, yeah. So you always have a clean
set. Well, I feel like if you're reabsorbing, probably the stuff that you duplicate would probably absorb back into you as well.
Maybe.
So the shoes thing wouldn't work very well, but if you had, I think money would be good because you could like give it to a cashier or something. They put it in the register and then you just suck it back up.
Know oh, I mean? Like,
you've made the transaction.
Like having like
you've
got the goods. String on the quarter thing.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it would be. Yeah. That's my question that I don't know, but I thought about it.
All right. All right.
Anyway, let's go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. Get Ryan Sook designs.
Yeah, we got some Ryan Sook designs. I have the complete collection, so let me see what we got. There's actually not much. I'm just realizing.
It's probably like the same shit.
I think there's less even.
Wow.
There's a 10 and 12 combined cover. You could see that, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I don't have that.
And then, because you don't have 10 and 12?
Yeah, there's only three pages of design, so.
Yeah, and then just the same designs, so.
Okay.
The Ryan Sook stuff.
So, a little on the
underwhelming side.
Smaller end of Back Matter, but.
Yeah. It is what it is. Yeah, I think he was just kind of sketching out designs. So, yeah.
What do you rate this book, Nathan?
I rated a black coffee. That I'm drinking during an investigation.
Trying to crack the case.
Yeah.
It's like 2 a.m.
And it really hits the spot because you're trying to lock in. You know what I mean?
And then the moonlight comes in through the blinds.
And I have a cigarette. I'm me, a man that doesn't smoke a whole lot.
And you're a smoker now.
And I'm smoking in the house. Yeah, I think the vibes of this book are like the big thing. Just it being a noir, like, pseudo-noir type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy it. I enjoyed it a lot more this read than when I first was reading it.
Oh, you gave it a go first?
Yeah. When I got this, I tried reading it and I was like, this is a little bit different than I thought. It's not bad, but I just never went back to it, you know?
This is the X Games logo I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah. in like the like 90s or whatever.
Mm-hmm. What would you rate this?
I give it a... You get like a new pint of Ben and Jerry's, but it's like a new flavor that you haven't had before.
Mm.
And it's just like one serving, which I think is like a third of one of those pints or whatever.
Right.
So the first serving though, you know, it's new, you're taking it in, you like it, because it's good stuff.
Yeah.
But you know there's more for later and whatnot.
Yeah, I think that's relevant.
It is six issues, but it still kind of felt like
it feels like
a small bite.
Yeah, it really does. You can tell that they're not like chugging along necessarily, which I think is good, because it gives like some room for the characters to breathe and you see some of their personalities.
Yeah.
But yeah. So let's go into the pull list. Colin?
Shove in your backs.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
What are we picking up?
Absolute Batman 9.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimate X-Men 16. Ninja Turtles 9. Green Lantern Corps 5.
Mm-hmm.
There's Death of Silver Surfer.
Oh, yeah.
Number one. Mm-hmm. I might flip through that.
Seems like it'd be pretty cool. I forget who's on it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Is it Al Ewing or something?
Sounds right.
Hmm. And then there's the first issue of Robin and Batman, : Jason Todd.
That's the Jeff Lemire one?
Yeah.
And Dustin Nguyen?
I haven't read the first one. I have it, but...
Yeah. Well, it must have been good enough to do a sequel.
Yeah.
So.
What'd you read, Aiden? Read more X-Factor?
Yeah, I read like... up to, I think I'm like halfway through issue 11 of it.
Okay.
So that would have been 7, 8, 9, 10. And so I was like, yeah, let me read through. So apparently in the beginning of this, there's Madrox 1 through 6.
In the beginning.
Madrox.
Yeah.
And I guess he's like a movie star or some shit. I don't know. I haven't read it. But then I wanted to read after where we read, and there's this like huge, just fucking here's to catch up with the lore kind of thing. And it is just ridiculous. And I want to read it to you.
Let's hear it.
So it goes like a little bit into M-Day, the House of M thing. But as the energies released on M-Day radiated out from the Earth, they struck an orbiting clump of matter and awakened a mutant buried inside. Enraged to realize how long he had been in suspended animation, the mutant sought out the X-Men and attacked them, killing Banshee. So Siren's dad, dead.
Yeah.
The X-Men soon learned that their attacker was Vulcan, Cyclops' long-lost brother. Professor X had recruited Vulcan and several other young mutants years ago, but when all were believed killed on a mission to Krakoa, the living island, a horrified Professor X erased all memory of them from Cyclops' mind, and then he recruited a second team of mutants who ejected Krakoa into space, inadvertently sending Vulcan along with it. So this is what I found out. Krakoa is not a Jonathan Hickman exclusive thing.
Wow, yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? They had Krakoa and it's in space and it was still a living island at the point? Vulcan departed, but the X-Men, already afraid to trust their fellow mutants with the truth about the M-Day, now had their trust in Professor X badly shaken as well. Meanwhile, Quicksilver found himself depowered after M-Day. Desperate to regain his powers, he stole the Inhumans' Terrigen Crystals. Exposure to the crystal's mist gave Quicksilver limited time travel powers, and he soon learned that the mists could briefly return other ex-mutants' powers, but often with dangerous or deadly side effects. So he's like, he touches the Terrigen mist, and it kind of gives you back your powers, but with like a variation, I guess.
Is it the Terrigen mist?
The Terrigen crystals. Okay. Yeah. Mm. The U.S. government's Office of National Emergency captured many of Quicksilver's crystals, but they refused to return them to the Inhumans, sparking a dangerous international incident, and Inhuman King Black Bolt declared war on the United States. Quicksilver absorbed the remaining crystals' mists into himself, gaining the ability to restore powers by touch. Now mentally unstable, Quicksilver became determined to repower as many ex-mutants as possible, regardless of the side effects. So he's running around, he's touching people, and making them mutants again.
Okay.
And I'm like, who the fuck thought of this? It's just insane. Meanwhile, a battle between young heroes, the new warriors, and villainous Nitro caused a massive explosion in Stamford, and it basically just goes into civil war. So now in issue 7, civil war is like a thing that's happening that they have to deal with. They have to deal with like the superhero registration and stuff.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever read like a book that had issues tying into civil war.
Oh, I feel like you can get away from it at a certain point.
Yeah,
like,
it was just civil war tie-ins.
Yeah.
But
anyway, isn't that insane?
Pretty crazy.
Like,
yeah.
You just have to follow all of that.
I didn't realize that House of M is so close to Civil War.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, this book makes it seem like it's like a year apart.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's insane. So I was reading the first couple issues of that, and it's still pretty good. Ryan Sook isn't on it anymore, so the vibes are like a little bit off, but they get pretty close because they have Dennis Calero on a couple of the issues.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun. You kind of see like Siren's reaction to losing her dad, and she's kind of in denial about it. You see some more like Layla Miller stuff. It's pretty good. I like it. Yeah. And then I also started reading The Inkle. The Inkle by Jodorowsky and Mobius.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading that when it was raining. I was on my patio reading in the rain. It's pretty sick.
Good vibes.
Yeah. So that book is fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Have you read all of it?
No. They split it up into smaller trades, and I've read the first trade, and I reread that recently.
Yeah, there's a lot of it, of like Inkle.
It's pretty thick, yeah. You got the collection.
Yeah, which I don't really know what it collects.
It's like the whole Inkle story.
But then there's spinoff stories of Inkle, right?
Right.
Okay, so I guess I just have the main one.
I think Mark Russell did one.
Whoa.
Like recently, like a couple years ago. Yeah.
But it's awesome. I mean, Mobius is a fucking beast in it. Like every single, all the details that you could want.
Yeah.
But he doesn't make it like overwhelming because of the way that it's colored. There's a very clear like foreground and background.
Yeah.
But like all the sci-fi stuff is so raw. You know what I mean? It's so like, it's so good and visually really interesting. So I like it a lot. And it's also like weird sci-fi too.
Yeah.
Because there's the main like detective dude can just go to like a store where he builds a woman that he sleeps with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's like, I want this rack and I want this ass. And then the person will just like go meet him later. So it kind of feels like a just a brighter Blade Runner kind of universe.
I remember there are like big pages that just kind of were, they just read as like, fuck you, I'm Mobius.
Yeah, pretty much. Like the second page is that where he's like falling down the whole structure. But yeah, pretty cool. What'd you read?
I read Predator versus Spider-Man, number 1 and 2.
Nice.
A lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Moves really fast, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe too fast, but I'm okay with it.
Could be.
Yeah, faster than Wolverine for sure, but I think it works, and I like what it is. It's only like 4 issues, like Wolverine, so
I got to move relatively fast.
Yeah.
I've only read the first issue, but that Predator seems fucking insane.
He's definitely more like brutal.
He's like mentally just not well.
Maybe.
You know, compared to other Predators, they seem to have like a pretty clear goal and like standards, but this guy's just like ripping people's faces off or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that's interesting.
I read Daredevil, Cold Day in Hell, number 1 and 2.
Nice.
And what a book.
Dude, isn't it awesome?
It is incredible. Yeah.
It's so good.
I loved it. Yeah. I just read the first one. I'm like, let's see how this is. And
they were cooking. Dare I say,
Steve McNiven is on one. I don't know.
He's completely different than what he normally does.
Where did this come from?
Like, I know.
You think Charles Soule's like, can you draw like Frank Miller?
Like, yeah. Like, whose idea was that?
Yeah.
I'm like, sure it was Charles Soule's. Like,
the wrinkles
I have this idea.
Like go crazy. You know,
the wrinkles
like,
are all over. The place.
It's all like hard lines.
Mm-hmm. His whole suit's just silhouette.
It just seems like bizarre for him to like be doing this art with Frank Miller like still alive, you know, and just doing it and just doing it better than him right now. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But he's definitely carrying that like gritty spirit that I feel like Frank Miller recently at least has lost a bit of.
Sure.
It's just so crazy to me because he's so good in that style and he's so good in his own style. And it's like, come on, dude, pick a lane.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he'll go back to
the Steve McNiven stuff, but it's just cool.
I kind of respect like the range.
Yeah.
You know, of 100%. Like being able to draw in different styles. But like I wouldn't have hated it if like it was his own style. You know?
I wouldn't have either. Yeah.
But yeah, very interesting
but
stuff.
But this works.
I love a future
old man
story of heroes that always goes well.
You know, you'd think it would get old at this point, but I read this and I was like, this fucking rips.
Yeah, no, it rules.
I love people complaining about how their bones hurt.
Yeah, like, I don't have, I, it's not, It's not like the good old days.
I'm not young and spry like I used to be.
Yeah. Then I read Absolute Martian Manhunter number 3.
Cool.
Good stuff. Looks good. Sweet. Of course. I don't know if it's quite as good as like the second issue.
Hmm.
Because that's kind of a pocket issue in a way.
Yeah.
But it seems to be very like episodic in a way. It's not necessarily like one big arc. I guess the arc is like him just kind of figuring himself out.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Martian is, but
yeah, it's interesting because they had it extended because it's supposed to be 6 and now it's 12. So I wonder when that sort of takes effect in the storytelling.
I'm sure like,
because I'm sure they were pretty
will feel deep. Like an arc.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And then it's like just 6 more.
That's probably what of it, but yeah.
Because I can't imagine he'd rewrite
like
a lot.
4 through 12.
Because I'm sure a lot of it's like in the can already.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Then I read The Riddler Year 1 through 5. It's like 6 issues, but I have an idea of where like...
Is it the Paul Dano one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
I have an idea of where like number 6 is going to be like.
Cool.
It's like... It's good and it's like interesting, you know, seeing kind of like origin of that mm-hmm. Riddler. But it can be like a little boring, I guess, as like a comic. Because yeah. He's like a... Like a forensic accountant, you know, he's just like trying to find.
He's talking about forensic accounting things.
Yeah. But the art's really good. And there's like Bill Sienkiewicz covers and stuff. Mm-hmm. There are a couple decisions that kind of piss me off. Like the fourth issue was all like flashback. Like it's him as like as a wee lad, you know, in the orphanage, you know. And then the fifth issue was like 20 pages of just like this notebook, like Riddler's notebook, and there's like scribbles all over it, and there's all these like pictures and stuff, and I don't even think it really added to the story necessarily.
Like the whole page is just notebook.
It looks writing? Like a notebook, like like a ledger that he normally uses for like work or whatever. But
does
it's
he
like
draw
all,
on it?
It's all his notes.
Only pictures. There are only words.
There'll be like pictures,
like sketches that he did on the notebook.
Not really.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
There'll be like little question marks and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But that was a little infuriating. Like the idea is cool, but I don't know about like a full issue. You know. And there's like 4 issues at the end of it that like kind of push the story forward a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like the last issue is going to be just like up to like the movie.
Yeah.
You know, which
up to when he's standing in that guy's house.
Yeah. For like. A first comic for a person who doesn't write comics. It's like, well done, you know?
Yeah. For a celebrity making a comic.
Yeah. And it seems like he's kind of the thing with the notebook thing is like, he's like devising like his plan
mm-hmm.
and that he ends up going through with in the movie. So
like putting the bombs.
Yeah. Like where the spots will be and whatnot.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And why he like does all this. And so, you know, I bought it, so I just gotta
read it,
get through it.
Yep. Fair enough.
Did you watch anything?
Yes.
What did you watch?
I finished The Last of Us season.
Okay.
And then I finished Love, Death, and Robots.
Ooh, okay.
Last of Us. I think pretty good season up until the last episode. What the fuck was that?
As soon as that happened, I'm like, watch it end right here. And then, like,
I know.
It did.
God, it's so, like... not satisfying and what? Not it doesn't like wrap anything up.
What's her name's like in Seattle and like
Abby,
at
yeah.
a football field. I'm like, is that the Seahawks stadium?
I was like, that's what I said. I was
looking for
Seahawks?
It.
But I think they're setting up a third season where we find out what Abby's been up to, and I don't care.
And I guess it's also gonna be like a fourth season. So this is like 1/3 of the second game. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, no, I was not happy with it.
Yeah.
I thought the season up to this point was like pretty solid. There's like weird cult stuff going on.
Yeah, I like all the flashback stuff. Yeah, it's not just like the character that died.
But Ellie's just made so many dumb decisions and gotten so lucky just in this last episode specifically where I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So I don't think it deserves as much hate as it's been getting except for that last episode.
I don't know. I thought it was still a pretty good episode. Like as far as like how it looked and whatnot.
Yeah. And then Love, Death, and Robots. It was only like the last 3 episodes that I didn't watch.
So it's probably like
the plane one.
Yeah.
Which is fucking awesome. And then the appliances one. And then whatever the last one was, which I can't remember you even. But the plane one fucking rules.
Yeah, I don't really remember it.
It was like there's some dudes in a plane. There's a demon that gets on the plane, and there's some Nazis. It felt like Hellboy almost.
Huh?
Did you watch it?
I started it and was probably in and out.
Mm, okay, that one for me is like a top five of all seasons. Like that episode, top five episode.
You probably need to like go through like the old episodes, but
I probably would because I know there's a lot of episodes, but just
there's a little cat in the last episode.
Oh, the cat one. Yeah, that one's fine.
Okay, yeah.
There's too much cat stuff, I think, in this season.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, cats are interesting, I guess, but
sure.
Anyway, that was good. And then I watched Bring Her Back, the horror movie from the guys that made Talk to Me.
Mm-hmm.
Saw it with mom.
Really?
Yeah. She's a yapper in the theater, but she was kind of drunk, I think.
Yeah.
Because Serena, I made plans with Serena.
Yeah.
To go see it. And then on the day when we were going to go see it, I was like, you're still down for the movie? And she's like, I made plans with mom. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I ended up seeing it with both of them, which is pretty fun. But
she's fun to see a horror movie with.
Yeah, she is. But the movie itself is different than what I thought it was going to be. Because it's definitely like a horror movie, but it's not like as scary, I think, as Talk to Me is. It's more disturbing.
Okay.
So they're very clearly like not trying to jump scare you, because there wasn't really any of that. It was just like some gore stuff that I'll probably think about for a really long time. Like I won't be able to shake it.
Yeah.
Because they get really focused on that shit. And the story is
That's what they're good at, though.
Yeah. And the story is like, it's not as straightforward as Talk to Me.
Uh-huh.
And I think that the Talk to Me style is kind of more my vibe, but I can kind of appreciate both at the same time.
Kind of chaotic.
Because Talk to Me, it's like, here's a hand, you hold on to it, don't hold on to it too long, though, and then you'll talk to some dead people. And it's like very clear, like, what's going on. And,
yeah.
But this one, it's like, they won't even explain everything by the end of the movie, and you can kind of make a couple of those leaps, which is kind of fun to do, but they're very deliberate about, like, not giving you all the information until, like, pretty much the very end, and then by then, you don't even have all the information. So I think just, like, that aspect of it, I still have some questions.
Sure.
But overall, pretty good. Like a really good movie from them. And I think they're still really strong filmmakers.
That's good.
The pacing's really good. The situation that was set up was also really good. So pretty sweet.
Yeah, I guess they have.
And like the performances is insane. Like the main like foster mom in this, apparently she's in Paddington. I didn't know that. She's horrifying in this movie.
Nice.
So really cool.
Sweet.
And then I started a game that I've played before. You've also played it. I decided with the boys to go back and play it. We're playing through the campaign of Call of Duty World at War.
Oh, banger.
That's so good, dude. We're playing it through on Veteran.
Oh, shit.
Just the hardest difficulty.
I just remember the mission on like Macon, where it's like nighttime or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's very like...
Oh, yeah. Is that the opening one where like...
Saving Private Ryan or whatever?
Yeah.
Is that what the mission's called?
No, but there's an achievement called Saving Private
Ryan.
That's
what I'm thinking of. Yeah,
yeah, there's a... I did save him. I remembered Saving Private Ryan.
You have the Thompson gun or whatever.
Yeah, it's so fun. And just like picking up all the guns that were like OP in multiplayer, like the MP40 or like the Gewehr.
MP40 was good. Yeah, the Gewehr I liked a lot.
And then there's like an STG. It's like a gray gun.
Uh-huh.
It's just funky looking. I just remember shooting it and hearing it. And like getting the kills on it, it's all very nostalgic for me. So it's been super fun.
Are you excited to finish the game, but then just go straight into zombies game?
Oh yeah, they did do that. I wonder if it'll work that way.
Hopefully.
And it's funny because the servers are still up, but they're not very reliable. So when we first started it, we like bought it on Steam. It was like $10 or something.
Yeah.
For the game, and then we spent like 45 minutes trying to get into a lobby. Because like there's maybe the active player base is probably like 100 people or something, and they're not going to spend money to like keep those servers up for Call of Duty World at War, a game that came out like 20 years ago.
That was like a personal favorite of mine, though.
It's so good, dude.
Yeah.
I like, even it's like 9 gigabytes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there are games that are literally like 10x this download.
Yeah.
And they're not even a fraction of the chaos that's in that game on Veteran mode.
Yeah.
Dude, there's grenades all over the place that are being thrown at you. You gotta throw them back.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Oh, it's like the stick grenades.
Yeah, it's like the stick grenades, or like when you're down, you just like take out like a little pin and you just like poke it into your friend to revive them. You remember that?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all like very nostalgic and fun, but it's like it holds up very, very well. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, it doesn't change that much from game to game, so it's just
the mechanics of it are about, you know, the same.
It's the same bones.
There's just more sliding, I think, in more Call of Duties. But what I mean is like just how fun it is and how engaging it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's even more so than like I feel like a lot of Call of Duty games.
What other missions are there? Do you recall?
So there's ones where you're like American and some where you're Russian. There's like a Russian like kind of campaign kind of going on at the same time. So the first level is the one that you remember where it's like dark.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, there's a guy that gets Private a cigarette.
Ryan on fire or something?
He was about to be on fire from a dude that was on fire about to tackle him. You have to shoot him before that happens. So that's Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, yeah. That's where they had flamethrowers.
Yeah.
That was cool.
There's a mission where you get to call in like airstrikes. Mm-hmm. There's a D-Day mission, pretty much.
Okay.
Where you're like on like a little boat and you're going onto a beach in it. And then your little boat explodes. You're in the water and you see a dude come into the water and he gets shot and you're like, as a kid, you're like, oh, fuck. You know? But you get like airstrikes that you can call in on bunkers that have like LMGs and stuff. There's a mission where you're in trenches with a flamethrower and you gotta flamethrower some stuff. There's a tank mission, which I completely forgot about. There's lots of good stuff in there.
That's fun.
Yeah, super fun. So we were going to finish it like 2 days ago, but we couldn't get into the server. We spent like 30 minutes and we didn't have that much time, so we just went and played Helldivers, I think. But
dang,
hopefully if we can get into the lobbies, we'll finish it.
nice.
But that's like the only one of two Call of Duties that has 4-player co-op campaign, which is kind of sad.
Really?
I think there's some that have 2-player.
They like stop focusing on campaigns.
I think it only has 4-player multiplayer because at that time you could split screen 4-player.
Yeah.
Which I think is what we might have done at one point.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, I think like Black Ops is like kind of when they started slowing down.
Yeah. They were just like, we'll just do multiplayer and zombies and just like call it good. And they don't want to focus on campaign as much, kind of clearly. So.
Which is like my favorite part.
But know? I would have loved to do like a run of like Modern Warfare 2 4-player.
Yeah, that'd be killer.
Multiplayer. It's so good. That's like easily the best, I think, a Call of Duty campaign.
Yeah, super solid.
Room will be 4-player. So, but yeah, it's super fun. Very nostalgic.
Lame.
What'd you watch?
We watched The Accountant.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that?
No.
It's pretty good.
That's what I hear.
It's a good dad movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, the second one came out. And so we watched that one as a kind of a refresher. Yeah, good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, so he's got like all this money, right? And he has like valuables or whatever. And one of them is like Action Comics number one.
Whoa.
And it's just a raw issue.
He's got a raw?
I'm like, fucking grade that, dude.
Yeah, what are you doing?
He like picks it up and flops. I'm like, careful. He just puts it in a backpack and it's not bagged.
Isn't he supposed to be like super meticulous about things?
Yeah, he should be.
Yeah. Go get that shit graded.
Yeah. We watched that Hunger Games prequel. It's like Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. Came out like 2 years ago.
With the dink
in it. Yeah, he's in it. Pretty good.
I forgot. That kind of came and went, didn't it?
It didn't do crazy numbers or anything, but it's about like the 10th Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm.
And in like the OG movies, they're at like the 75th one or whatever. Yeah.
So
it's very early days kind of stuff.
Still a bit fresh.
Yeah. Seeing all that was cool, but this shit was like 2 hours, 40 minutes.
Whoa.
So I was like fucking, like the Hunger Games were over. But you said like 40 minutes you're left like, of movie.
What am I doing here?
Like, where are we going here?
Were the Hunger Games cool? Yeah,
kind of. Since it was so early, it was just in like a Coliseum thing, but like a small one. Like it looked like,
oh, so they just
where ASU basketball plays, you know? So very fucking small.
So just like 40 people fight or whatever.
It's like 20 something, yeah. Mm. But it's like within like this 100-foot radius, you know, so kind of bizarre. I watched Superman 2, the Donner cut, because I guess Richard Donner started that movie, but then I got fired, and then this other dude, Richard Lester, finished it. But I didn't want to watch that because I hear the Donner cut's better.
Mm.
And that came out in like 2006, like the recut of it.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so there's like some test screen footage and stuff like that. So there's a bunch of stuff that was like never filmed or whatever.
So what would they play at those points?
It was like
little sketches, storyboards?
No, it was like it like looked like a movie. So if you didn't know that, I don't think people would really notice. Mm. But there's like just some inconsistencies or whatever. There's like a recap at the beginning of the first movie, like where we're at. I'm like, I kind of appreciated that. 4 minute credits in the beginning on this one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Lois Lane, she looks at like a paper and a picture of Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, this looks just like Clark Kent. And she like will draw glasses on him. She's like, it was just kind of funny.
Man, she's a good reporter.
And to like try and get him to reveal himself as Superman, she like jumps out a window.
Oh, I've seen a clip of this.
Yeah.
I'm like, what a crazy bitch.
Yeah, I know. And he doesn't save her. Like, he doesn't go flying after her. He like zooms down to the bottom floor, like blows his breath to kind of slow down her fall, and then brings out like a cabana kind of thing. So she bounces off of it. And so she like, he like calls her bluff or whatever.
Wow.
And then just zooms back up, be like, why'd you do that?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
The king of gaslighting.
Right.
Good for him. Did she feel pretty dumb after that?
Yeah, probably.
Hmm.
So this one is the one that has like Zod.
Yeah.
And then like Ursa or whatever.
The other.
There's like two other ones. Yeah. And they see like a gun and they like use like heat vision on it and it heats up. But then they have like telepathy or something and like bring the gun to them with the heat vision.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay.
Cool.
Yeah, it was just like one of those things.
It's kind of a two-in-one power, I guess.
There's a bit, I can't remember who did this, but you can deflect heat vision with like a mirror.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Because mirrors don't get hot.
This movie has like some product placement, like in the final fight or whatever.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Coca-Cola?
Yes.
Samsung.
What? In like the 80s?
Yeah, sure.
I think it's like 82.
Okay, Toshiba?
No, like Zod throws Superman into like a marble truck. And then Superman throws Zod into like a big Coca-Cola sign. Like a neon sign or whatever.
There's a polar bear in there having a crisp one.
Yeah. There's a funny bit where like Superman gets like crushed by like a bus or whatever. And the bus just like backs into him. Everyone thinks Superman's dead. And Lois Lane's just
like,
and that's the devastation of like Superman dying.
She just bows her head a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
But yeah, it was okay.
Is this the one where they get stuck in that little square?
So that's how the first one starts and kind of plants the seed of them. Zod in them, and then in the second one they're free from, because that's like the Phantom Zone.
I was trying to remember the name.
But anyway, I've just been kind of going through those.
Did you see the part where he like rips off his logo and he like
throws it? I think that's it? 3 or 4.
Oh, okay. Is this the one? No, I think that's the Brandon Routh one I'm thinking of.
Where he like the bullet crushes in his eye?
No, the bullet, that's definitely Brandon Routh. But there's one where they're like on an island. A kryptonite island. And there's like a big cliff that like lands on somebody and like kills them. That's all I remember about that movie.
I don't know. I'll look for it.
And then he's like, I think it's a Brandon Routh one. And he, even though it's a kryptonite island, he has to like just like lock in to like not let the kryptonite affect him. And he picks up the whole island or big rock or whatever it is.
Wow.
And I was just like, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I watched Shin Godzilla.
Where's that? No. I mean, I've heard that name before.
So it's like the Shin means like new, and it's the Godzilla movie like before -1.
Oh, okay.
It's by the dude who did like Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Oh, cool.
And it's pretty fucking neat if you like Godzilla stuff. It's arguably like the scariest Godzilla. Just like some of the shots and just like the way he's designed is like really fucking freaky, I think.
And he like intimidating,
kind like of scary.
Really, like his face looks scary.
Face is scary.
Cool.
How he just kind of moves is scary. And this one, he's like evolving as the movie goes along. Mm-hmm. There's like a couple evolutions of Godzilla, so it's like the first iteration, he like his arms aren't even like fully grown, you know?
Oh.
So he's like kind of like this mutated freaky thing.
Yeah.
And the human aspect of it is just the government just trying to like figure out what to do. There's a lot of like home video aspects to it. So like people like on their phones or whatever recording shit.
Oh, okay.
There's a funny thing where there's like helicopters and they're like shooting Godzilla with like bullets or whatever. But it just sounds like you're shooting like a shipping container. Because like, it sounds like
metal.
Bouncing off metal. Like doo, 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 doo. Yeah, it's so weird.
That's funny. I can believe that.
Dude, so I was a little cooked watching this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was so cooked that the dubs were like lining up with their lips. Because like, it was clearly like,
well, they changed.
Not in English.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, they know English really well.
Dang.
And then I watched Alien Cubed, Nathan.
Oh, okay. Nice. How was that?
It's not bad. Well,
this is the one that notoriously is not very good, right?
Yeah, people don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that bad, but it's not like a terrible watch, right. You know. But okay. Like going from like two to this, I can see big people downgrade. Getting kind of upset.
Okay, yeah.
Technically, it is a bad movie.
Oh, dog dies?
Yes. Even worse,
two dogs die.
No, the alien infected the dog.
Does it burst out of the dog?
Yeah.
Dude.
And it's like a dog alien.
Does it look cool?
It just looks like an alien on all fours.
That's lame. Not worth it.
But it's like really
dog.
Fucking fast.
What kind of dog?
It was like a Rottweiler.
Oh.
Yeah.
Poor guy. Bad movie. That's why people are outraged about it.
Probably. And it's like kill the Roddy. It's like one of the first the first 20 minutes happens.
Is Sigourney Weaver in this one too?
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, I'm not gonna like
you don't have to go into it.
Go into like all the details, but this one feels just really like just like grimy, you know? It's like this the sets and stuff like that and all the people in it. And it's very like
it feels gross.
Yeah. It's oh, okay, like not cool. A place you want to be.
That's kind of cool.
She's like picked up by this like space prison where it's only has like murderers and rapists in it and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so she's kind of dealing with that. It kind of feels like an alien comic, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of people-driven stuff and a lot of stories and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrion Lannister, the guy, the dad or whatever, he's in this.
Mm. And I can believe that.
Yeah, he's like a doctor or something.
Mm. Cool.
And I think the biggest beef that I had with it was like, there were aspects of it where like the alien was like CGI'd. And this is like CGI in like early 90s. So it just wasn't that great, you gotcha. Know, and it's like very clear. It kind of, you can see like the outline of like the alien. It's kind of like watching like old Star Wars movies where like the TIE fighter comes in and shit.
Yeah. I mean, they tried.
Yeah. This is like David Fincher's first movie.
Really?
But it's also like he wasn't in like a great situation because like, I think there was like another director.
That like started
tied
it?
Tied to it. Yeah. And they like started production on this without like a script. They're just kind of like
that's smart.
Yeah, so just kind of
they Marvel
kind of doomed
it.
To start, but like it's like not that bad, you know.
That's so funny to be like, what could we do?
Yeah,
maybe feel some gross stuff.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm gonna watch all of them, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, I didn't watch like all of it start to finish, but yesterday I was watching a little bit of The Labyrinth. Have you heard of that movie?
Pan's Labyrinth?
No. The Labyrinth. It's by Jim Henson.
Yeah, the Jim Henson one? There's like a Labyrinth comic.
Is there?
Yeah. It's like coming out right now.
It is.
Boom.
It is a trip.
Is it just like a lot of puppet stuff?
Like tons of really, really good puppet stuff.
People like fucking love that movie, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Sophie's sister loves it. And that's why I was on. I kind of just like came into the room when I was like, it looked like Pan's Labyrinth because there's like some fucked up shit going on. It seemed like.
Yeah.
Like she was like kind of stuck falling in like this cave and there was just like a bunch of hands trying to like grab her like fucking gray hands and stuff. And then the hands would like make a mouth and like start talking to her. And it was like kind of crazy.
That's but some then, cool Carla lore.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was like,
did Sophie know that movie?
I think so. Not as well. Clearly as her, but then just like the regular puppets that are just like running around, the ones that make you laugh, the ones that are just like kind of goofy, like big, like big puppets, dude. I'm like, how the fuck do they even man that thing? It's I'm probably gonna like sit down and watch it all the way through. David Bowie's in it.
Yeah.
He's like the main dude, and
he's fucking sick.
He wears pants that are way too tight. You see some bulge in there. That's cool. Very vibey.
86.
Just don't watch it high because it'd probably freak you out.
I'm gonna now.
Don't do that, dude. There's some parts where I was watching it and I'm like, what the fuck? So how does someone think of this?
I'll watch it too, and then we'll have like a sober like okay. point of view.
Well,
like
two different points of views.
A zooted point of view. But anyway, what are you gonna read next week, Nathan?
What are we gonna read next week?
That's a good question. Isn't there something coming out?
Yes, we have Ironheart.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I figured we'd read the trade that's like, yeah, it's Invincible Iron Man from 2016. Mm-hmm. And the first trade's called Ironheart.
Yep.
You know, and I think, I don't know if that's first appearance, but first, like.
I think it is.
Yeah. You remember, like, the number one, like.
Yeah, it's like her. Cover. She's got it right here. She's got big curly hair.
That's the trade cover. But when I think of, like, first appearance of Ironheart, I think of, like, the number one. One sec. When she's, like, flying through the sky. And it's like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a Marvel Snap card of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This one.
Yeah.
Yeah. She kind of looks like Ultraman. But yeah, I remember when this came out.
What is it called?
Invincible Iron Man.
Fuck, that doesn't narrow it down. Is there like a name of the trade?
Invincible Iron Man, Riri Williams. Invincible Iron Man, Ironheart, Volume 1, Riri Williams.
Okay, there you go. That rolls off the tongue.
So, I-I-M-I.
I still can't even find it. I'll find it.
It's on Comixology.
Yeah.
You had the. Is this the cover you're thinking of?
No.
No?
Oh. I'm thinking of a different one.
Well, this is the one we're going to read.
We are reading that one.
This, yeah.
What was the other one then? That was just one that you think
the
of.
The one I just showed you? That's the number one.
Of.
This oh. is that, that's, okay. This is the trade cover. The other one I showed you is the number one cover.
All right. Cool.
But yeah, anyway.
That'll be cool.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. We got a link tree in the bio. You can like, comment, subscribe. Email in at tradewordispod@gmail.com. Tell us. X Factor. Do you know what it is? Have you read any of it? What's your favorite Peter David?
Where's a good strong guy thing for us?
Yeah, let us know.
We need a good strong guy story. Let us know.
Yeah. And goodbye.
Bye.